In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel appointed for this Sunday of Okkeli, the third Sunday in Lent, is the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 14, and this will serve as the text for this morning's sermon. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.' And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a stronger man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted, and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." And it happened as he spoke these words that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Thus far the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord is casting out a demon on this Sunday of Okkeli. It's a Latin word. It means it's the Sunday of the eyes, as we have it from the introit that we chanted together earlier. It is no small thing that our Lord is doing this. He has come to defeat sin, death, and the devil. And as our Lord overcomes both a demon and the malady of muteness in the process of freeing this poor man from his subjugation to the devil and his power, the Lord is revealing to us who he is. Look long and hard at this man, for he is you. He is every one of you, wrestling with putting away something bad, to which the devil would tempt you. Every one of you wrestling with taking up something good from which the devil would tempt you away. Every one of you studying God's Word. And especially those of you engaged in the catechetical instruction of the congregation, seeking to give your minds over to right doctrine and to put away false ones, all of which the devil would thwart and interrupt in any way that he could. You will be free. Christ is on His way to the cross to deliver you, to give you His victory over sin, death, and the devil. In part, you may see some progress in this life. I pray that you will, as you put away attitudes and actions that harm you, as you take up habits that strengthen your faith. But in full, you will see it in the life of the world to come. Nevertheless, on account of the person and work of Christ, the devil is already defeated. You will be free. There are several things I implore you to bear in mind. First, take a long, hard look at the seriously spiritual nature of the battle in which we are engaged. God wants you to grow in your devotion to Him. There is a real devil, and he really wants you to fail. God wants you to know the truth and to believe true doctrine. The devil wants you to believe false ones. I read the words of an Arab Christian pastor just this last week, in which he said, "I do not so much fear ISIS or Islamic persecution of Christianity. I fear Western Christendom falling away from every semblance of Christian orthodoxy." We have the Word of God, breathed by the Holy Spirit and entrusted to us. It is to be received as the truth, spoken by God Himself to you, not just the opinions of some pious men as they wrestled with God. It is to be received. Now, there are two end runs that I've seen conservative Lutherans do on the Word of God. One of them is to say, yes, it is the Word of God. It is clear. It is true. But aw shuckins, poor pitiful me, I can't understand it. God has not spoken a word to you that is too tough to understand. He did not breathe out the Holy Scriptures just so he could impress you with how smart he was because he said something you can't understand. He spoke those Scriptures to you because he wanted you to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. The Scriptures are clear. Read them. Learn from them. Believe what they say. The other end run that I see Christians sometimes do is to say that they are not sufficient, is the word we sometimes use. It means it applies. Oh, yes, it says thou shalt not steal. But the Scriptures did not envision my particular case of theft when it said that. So the admonition, thou shalt not steal, does not apply to my particular stealing or adultery or dishonoring of authority or gossiping or coveting or whatever the case may be. The Scriptures are sufficient in order to repent and amend your sinful life. You do not need the Scriptures plus the insights of Sigmund Freud. Scripture alone calls you to repentance. The Scriptures alone are enough that the man of God may be thoroughly prepared for every good work, as it is written. The devil, in all of these sometimes blatant and sometimes somewhat more subtle ways, will try to undermine your faith, your confidence in Scripture, your desire to read them and study them. God wants you to know the truth and believe true doctrine. The devil wants you to believe false ones. So whatever it is that would steer you away from Scripture, repent of that. Return to the Scriptures that you may know the truth that God Himself has breathed out to you. Further, God calls on you as His holy children to avoid sin and to confess and be forgiven of the sins you commit. The devil tempts you to indulge those sins, to make excuses for those sins, to take grace for granted, and to let those sins assume the place of idols in your heart, displacing your devotion to the true and living God. As with the demon-possessed mute, so you too are not able to defeat the devil by your own power. Make no mistake, every victory that you win over sin, death, and the devil comes not from you, but from Christ, ultimately. The strength to fight it comes from Christ. The will to do it comes from Christ. For without Him, everything within you would by nature be in league with the devil. Repent. Cling to Christ. And rejoice that the Holy Spirit does work through these words for you, working in you to will and to do what they say. Keep your eyes ever on the Lord. And while it's the Sunday of the eyes, might I admonish you to keep your ears pointed that way too. The next thing to notice is that the enemies of Christ will find faithless ways to explain the evidence of your victories over the devil. Some say, in the face of Christ's healing of this man, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. It just blows my mind that the next verse is, some wanted a sign from heaven. Well, what do you call that? He casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. You resolved with the help of God to avoid doing something undesirable or to do a desirable thing, to grow in your knowledge and understanding of the holy faith. If the devil cannot stop you, perhaps he can make you believe that the source of such victory over the devil is not divine power. You did that. It's your own willpower. Go ahead, be egotistical. Or it was the smooth persuasion of your pastor. Gotta watch that tricky-tongued one. Or some other social or psychological factor that deserves the credit for this. So don't go praising God. There are more rational explanations after all. Dear ones in Christ, the Lord does ever work through earthly means. If He uses medicine or surgery to heal you, nevertheless, God be praised. If He uses some mortal pastor or the faithful encouragement / sometimes it feels like nagging of a spouse to help you do what you know from God's Word you should. Once again, God be praised. How sad that sometimes when our most dearly loved ones, or I hope your loved pastor, speaks to us a word of correction, so often our first instinct is for our defenses to come up, rather than to receive this as a gift from someone who loves us and is on our side. God has given us the gift of each other. Rejoice in that gift and remember that it's a gift, especially when that gift is trying to help you be better. One thing to be sure of, Christ is God the Son, the Savior of the world, sent to overcome the evil one. If you see a little of that overcoming of evil happening in your own life, for heaven's sake, don't give the devil credit for that. The Lord overcomes the devil because he is given the authority to do so. Keep your eyes ever on the Lord. The final word of law that I would speak to you this day before turning our attention to the comforting words of the gospel is this. Beware of laboring by the grace of God to overcome an evil, and then once that evil is overcome, wiping the sweat off your brow, saying, "Whew, glad that's done," and then caving into apathy and allowing God's gracious work in your life to be overthrown. Jesus has just healed a man with a demon, and then listen to what he says. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through desolate places and seeking rest, finds none. He says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. The last state of that man is worse than the first. Talk about spoiling a party. Jesus has just healed a man of his demon possession. I would assume that he would be happy about that. And that others would be happy for him. And then Jesus goes all gloom and doom, saying this could all end up worse than it was in the first place. Why would he do that? Hey, wrap your minds around this explanation. Because it was necessary. And as it was necessary for him and for them, it is also necessary for us. The Lord can and does work some real good in our lives. We repent of some sin that has been a constant source of irritation and interruption in our lives of devotion to the Lord. And by the grace of God, we too put some effort into overcoming it with the prayers that the Lord places into our mouths, with the willpower that according to the new creation He has put into our bones, and with whatever other resources the Lord gives us. We focus on overcoming and walking away from that sin. And thanks be to God, it happens. We actually do get free of it, at least in some outward sense. But what can happen then? We forget the bitter struggle. We forget how hard it was. We forget the difficulty of breaking free from this nagging problem. We can start to take God's grace for granted. We can become apathetic and fall back into how it was before. And once again, I remind you, that's not just a moral or personal failing. That is a return of demonic forces pulling us back into an evil from which at one point God's grace had delivered us. Do not underestimate the spiritual nature of these struggles, especially some of those in which you have, some of you, engaged particularly intensely during this season of Lent. Dear ones in Christ, whether you are a former drunkard or adulterer, a former devotee of false religion or man-made ideologies, whether you have, by the grace of God, put away rage or stinginess or a complaining spirit, or whatever the victory may have been, remember the struggle. Remember the grace of God in helping you to overcome that. Remember most of all His grace in forgiving you your many sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But remember, do not grow weary or take it for granted or become apathetic, lest you fall back into that wickedness plus a few. It is not enough that your house be swept and in good order and empty. It is only as the devil finds it occupied by the Holy Spirit that he will realize there is a no vacancy sign hanging on your door. As St. Paul admonishes us in his epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18, and this was one of my joys in studying Greek in the seminary, was this particular passage. If we do a good wooden job of translating the Greek, it says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't just receive Him in the waters of baptism and let it go at that. Through word and sacrament, continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Himself admonishes us all at the end of this morning's text. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. One fringe benefit will be that the forces of evil will see that there isn't a lot of room for them to squeeze into. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your ears on His word. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. As we keep our eyes on the Lord, what is it we see? We see the friend of sinners, the one who has come that He may have mercy on all men. In overcoming this one demon, in this one man, we see the one who has come to destroy the work of the devil by His own voluntary suffering and death upon the cross. The devil drew man into sin. Christ has come to take away our sin and clothe us in His righteousness. The devil succeeded in bringing us sickness and death. Christ has come that we may have life and have it in abundance. The devil would keep us fallen, keep us sinful beings, keep us less than what God intended a human being to be. Jesus has come to make real men out of us again, real men and women, to restore us to a right relation with God, and especially in the resurrection of our bodies, to make us very literally even better than new. He comes to do all this by leading the perfect life that we fail to live, by sacrificing that life as a payment for the sin of the world on the cross, and by rising again that we may know death truly is defeated and eternal life really is ours. Dear ones in Christ, keep your eyes on the Lord. For in Him you will not only see how to remain steadfast in fighting the devil, but you will see the One who fought the devil for you and defeated him, so to give you abundant and eternal life. Your demons are already defeated. Your sins are already forgiven you, and eternal life is already yours on account of Him on whom you fix your eyes, the author and perfecter of our salvation, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ.